As we continue our study in the book of Hebrews, this morning we'll be looking at Jesus, the captain of our deliverance. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In verse 9 of this same chapter, we learn that Jesus was made lower than the angels, and that this circumstance was a temporary experience, and that God allowed it to happen so that Jesus might suffer death. But he now is not suffering death, but he has been raised from the grave, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, crowned with honor and glory. And as we look at Jesus and the death experience, we understand that he bore the cross and suffered death by the grace of God. That he tasted death, experienced death, and he did it by the grace of God, and he did it for every man. The first Adam sinned for all, and the second Adam died for all. And it was in the plan of God that the one who would come and die for us would not only make a way for us, but that he would always be available to us. We need to be reminded again and again and again and again that not only did Jesus, by the grace of God, taste death for all of us, but because he was raised from the grave and because he is seated at the right hand of God, crowned with honor and glory, he is available to us. He is now available to us. He is the captain, Paul writes, of our salvation. And as the captain of our salvation, the Bible tells us that Jesus must suffer. For it became him. And this word means it was fitting. It was suited. It was necessary. It was necessary for him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things? One translator has put it this way: who is the final goal and the first cause of the universe. Think of that. Jesus, the final goal and the first cause of the universe, and yet it suited him. It was necessary for him to suffer death and to suffer on this earth. And he did it in bringing many sons into glory, when leading many sons to glory, in guiding his many sons to a glorious deliverance, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The word that's translated captain is used only twice in the New Testament, and it means a hero who founded a city and gave the city its name and became its guardian and its protector. It also denoted one who was the head of a family, or founder of philosophic school. The term also had a distinct military connotation, referring to a commander of an army who went ahead of his men and blazed the trail for them. The idea here is of a leader who opens up a new way and becomes its continual leader. So Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is the captain of our deliverance, and that God made him a perfect captain by allowing him to suffer. The word perfect means to make complete, or in this instance, it means to qualify. And so God allowed Jesus to suffer to make Jesus fully qualified as the leader of our company. He is the leader of a company of soldiers. And Jesus had to pass through suffering in order to be a qualified captain. It is something like a general who served as a private and who passed up through all the various ranks until he becomes a general. And because of his past experiences, he is well trained and understands all of the men whom he commands. Jesus Christ is the commander of our great deliverance. Jesus Christ, in order to be qualified as a perfect commander of our deliverance, suffered. He passed through all of the trauma of being a human being, even the trauma of birth. And all of this qualified him to be our captain, to be our leader. And it is a thought that all of us should hold dear in our minds, that Jesus not only saved us, but like Moses leading the children of Israel to the promised land and not forsaking and deserting them, like Joshua leading the children into the promised land and not leaving them without a leader when Moses was taken, so Jesus Christ leads us every day of our lives. He has not deserted us. He has not forsaken us. He has qualified himself. He is our captain. In order for him to suffer as a human, Jesus had to become a human. Notice verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. The word sanctified means to consecrate. For a consecrating priest and those whom he consecrates share a common origin. What is this phrase referring to? Are all of one. It means that Jesus Christ, who consecrates us, and all of the humans on the earth who follow him and are sanctified or consecrated by him, have one common origin. And that common origin is humanity. Jesus Christ was a human being in every sense of the word, yet without sin. For the which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For this very reason, he is not ashamed. He is not embarrassed. He does not shrink from calling all other men his brethren. Because Jesus became a man, he is not embarrassed to be known as a man. He is not humiliated to call man his, or men his brethren. And then Paul quotes from Scripture, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I will announce or report in a public place something that has happened. And of course, Paul is quoting from Psalm 22:22, the psalm that Brother Polk read a few minutes ago. And no doubt Paul is remembering the time that Jesus at the Passover sang a psalm with his disciples, with his apostles, and then went out into the Mount of Olives. And all of these scriptures are being used to show that Jesus was not ashamed of his brethren, that he declared himself to his brethren and led them in the worship of Almighty God, and therefore acknowledged himself as a man, even though he had been proclaimed as the virgin born son of God. And again, I will put my trust in him. One of the things that all men had in common with Jesus, one of the things that Jesus had in common with all man and every man, is that they had trust in God. Since Jesus trusted in God and we trust in God, that shows there is a commonness among us. There is that point that all of us share. The word trust means to influence, to be persuaded. And so Jesus was persuaded of God just as we are persuaded of God. He listened to the words of the Father as we listen to the words of the Father. He trusted in the words of the Father just as we trust in the words of the Father. And therefore, we have this in common. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Paul is really saying that Jesus can declare, see, here I am and the children whom God gave me. This speaks of a tender relationship that Jesus had with humans. They share a common blood, as Paul spoke on Mars Hill. They are the common blood. That they are and have in common this one thing. We are the children of God. Jesus was a man. We are men. We are humans. He was a human. And it was necessary for him to become a man and then to suffer that he might be perfected and become our deliverer. Notice also in verse 14 and 15 that he suffered so that he might destroy death. It's a rather unique situation. By man, death has come. And by man, death must be destroyed. By the death of Adam, death came upon all men. And by the death of Jesus, men are freed from the consequences of death. Paul writes, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, and the children here is a reference to all of humanity, men and women, creatures of flesh and blood, are partakers, that is, they share in common the constant human situation. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also himself likewise took part in the same. He also became a human being. Sin came in the realm of human life by the sin of Adam. But Christ, as second Adam, a part of the human family, and could as such die for our sins. He took part. That means he literally had a part. Jesus, at his incarnation, truly became a member of the human family. Now notice that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The word destroy is a very powerful word in that it means to render inoperative, to nullify, to make idle or ineffective, to render ineffective or impotent, as though he no longer existed. So let's look at that verse. That through death, that is the death that Jesus would die, he might render ineffective and make it as though he never existed, him that had the power, that is the strength, that gave the strength. This word doesn't mean authority. It literally means the strength, bodily strength and force, or power to put into effect. So when Jesus became a man and then died, he rendered ineffective, and as though he never existed, Satan, who was the one who had power to enforce death, so that by dying he might crush him, that is the devil, who wields the power of death. Notice, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The word deliver means to change from, to set free, to release from a place of responsibility, such as a marriage contract, or even a municipal office, or perhaps even a lease. So when Jesus died, he then created a circumstance by which the power that Satan had over death was relinquished, much like a person might give up a lease on a building. And because of this, he can deliver us, that is, human beings, who through fear, that is, phobos, through the phobia of death, were all there lifetime, and that means every minute of their entire life, were subject to bondage. Now let's think of that. And to set at liberty those who, because of their fear of death, had lived all their lives in slavery to that fear. What is that which brings fear to the heart of every human? Well, there are many. We fear failure. We fear illness. But I suppose every right-thinking person has a fear of death. Paul said that people for their whole lifetime had been afraid of death. But that Jesus Christ, when he came, because he conquered death, he could free men from the slavery that they were in because they feared death. He pictures men as being bond slaves of fear. And this fear is the fear of death. And that Jesus, when he became a man and died on the cross and rose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and therefore liberated all of us from the bondage of fear of death. Why is that? How are we freed from the fear of death? Well, for the very same reason that Paul could come to the end of his life and he could say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've done the things that I ought to do. And then say, there is laid up for me a crown of life which the righteous judge shall give me in that day. Paul said, I am ready. I am ready to experience death. I am not afraid of death. I understand what it is, and I understand what it does. And fear and death holds no fear for me. I rather suspect that Paul at one time had been in bondage to fear. But because he understood what Christ did and what Christ does, then he was delivered from this bondage of fear. That's one thing that every child of God can come to grips with and set aside and realize that we, through Christ, we will die unless Jesus comes and we're raptured. We will die, but we need not fear it. Because Jesus, as the captain of our salvation, of our deliverance, he has experienced. And by this experience, he's perfected himself. And he's leading us. He's been there. He's gone through the valley of the shadow of death. And because he's our captain, he's not leading us on into an area where he's never been. As the captain of our salvation, he's not challenging us to follow him in areas where he's not experienced. Jesus died, and he went to the very depths of the grave and experienced all there is in death, and yet he's victorious. And Jesus is saying, trust me and follow me. You don't have to fear death. I'm the captain of your salvation. I have conquered death. Set aside your fear of death. Do not be in bondage to this fear of death. Learn what it is. Learn what I've done. I was a man, and I'm alive. I suffered death. I've been raised from the dead. Put your faith and confidence in me. And lose your fear of death. Wouldn't it be a tremendous weight off of the souls of men if they today could rid themselves of the fear of death? Not in a brave sort of way of, I will endure, I will go out into the unknown. Not that kind of bravado, but the kind of submission and humility that says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the kind of faith and confidence we can have when it comes to death. Not only ours, but others who die, to recognize that they're led by Captain Jesus, who's been every step of the way and has experienced it in its totality. As a human, not as a God, but as a human. Therefore, he is the perfect captain.